All right. Hey, guys, it's Justin, and welcome to another episode of Polar Opposites. So I hope you guys have been having a good week. My week has been amazing. It's my favorite time of the year. The smell of pumpkin spice is in the air. I'm about to get candy corn. What is your opinion on candy corn?
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting. Oh, by the way, I'm joined with my friend, Shone.
Hi, everyone.
Shone, how was your week?
Oh, it's been horrible.
Really?
I've been sick all week.
Mm-hmm. Don't get me sick.
I thought you never get sick.
I don't get sick, but in the event that I do, please don't get me sick. But yeah.
Yeah, I've been sick all week, and I have an exam tomorrow that I have not studied for. But it's all good.
Okay. But I'm happy. I see everybody on my Instagram feed is posting their pumpkin spice lattes. All the girls are like, it's that time of the year.
It doesn't even feel like it's October.
It does. It's not cold.
Like, I haven't really seen that much Halloween decorations. I actually forgot it was Halloween month.
My neighbors yesterday finished decorating their house.
Your neighbors that egged your
Yeah.
Car.
Oh, yeah. By the way, if you guys don't know, my car got egged.
It was your neighbors.
I don't think it was my, like, direct neighbors. It was somebody in the neighborhood that
That's
egged our car.
So
it
horrible.
Could be teenagers, or it could be some racist people that said, ugh, I hate these niggas. Leave living here, so they egged our car, and we had to, like, hurry and wipe it off before it ruined the paint.
Aww,
and a little bit of
that's
it.
That's so horrible.
It is horrible. Racist will be racist.
Unless it's not a racist.
Right. But, yeah, my neighbors decorated their house for Halloween, and it's just weird because they put, like, goblins and skulls everywhere. And yeah. The older I get, the more I feel conflicted about Halloween because it's a strange holiday.
Yeah, I've never been allowed to celebrate it.
Really?
Ever.
Well, I don't consider going trick-or-treating celebrating Halloween.
Yeah, I never was allowed to go trick-or-treating. Like, I was going to get into Harry Potter when I was growing up, but as soon as my mom saw the picture
of a witch,
of the book, she was like, you can't read this in my house.
It's funny. A lot of African parents actually believe that Harry Potter is witchcraft and it's demonic.
Because someone told them that. They probably got on a WhatsApp a WhatsApp message.
Right, and said, don't give your kids this.
But yeah, they should never let me watch it.
That's sad. I don't think, like, trick-or-treating and looking at Halloween stuff makes you, like, demonic or something. It's just a fun, like, cute holiday.
But I ended up not caring for it. Like, I don't think I'll ever, you know, dress my kid up.
Really? It's just, it's cute. It's cute.
My husband wants to. But for me, it's not going to be, like, something that, oh, it's Halloween, let's get you an outfit. Like,
it's fun. Just, you get to be another character, somebody besides yourself for a day, and you get free candy.
Yeah.
What's
I think
not
the only
like?
Thing that I used to do in Halloween is go to Hallelujah Night.
And they gave you candy then?
Yeah, it was like a church version of Halloween. So on Halloween night, we would go to Hallelujah Night, mm-hmm. and then, you know, we'd, like, get candy.
And celebrate it that way with God. Always with the bane of God watching everything. But you guys, Halloween, just think about, like, some foreign person coming to America during Halloween season and seeing all these goblins and stuff. I'd be like, America is demonic. Whatever the Western world is showing, it really is scary.
Yeah.
But what a terrible intro. You guys, if you love the show, make sure that you're subscribed, tell a friend about the show, help us grow. You can always send us an email too. So, and follow me on my personal page too. Some people might be scared to, like, reach out and follow me, but I'll follow you back. Like, I don't mind. Like, I consider listeners my friends, because if you spend, like, an hour and a half every week listening to my voice, some of my friends I don't even talk to for an hour and a half. So I really do appreciate that. So y'all definitely follow me if you want to, and follow the podcast page too. So, Off My Chest is a segment I love where I get to rant about whatever it is that I feel like ranting about. So, if y'all have stuff that you'd like to rant about, you can always email the podcast at polaropposites.pod@gmail.com and let us know what you need to get off your chest. If you guys follow the Polar Opposites Instagram page, periodically I'll do some polls on there. So, I asked listeners that follow the page what they would like to get off their chest. And this is one that I want to read. So, somebody said, Igbo parents and communities in America not actively immersing their kids into Nigerian culture, especially the language, and then being shook that their kids grow up Americanized and monolingual. Mm-hmm. Also, this is something that seems to be specific to Igbo people. Why are they like this?
Is it specific to Igbo people?
It's not specific to me, because I'm basically fluent in Igbo.
In Igbo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fluent in Yoruba, too. Mm-hmm. Well, I was born in Nigeria, mm-hmm. so... for the longest, I think that was my first language, even though English is Nigeria's first language.
Right.
I was just always speaking it at home. My dad had to be like, you cannot speak unless you speak English.
Wow.
So it would take me so long to speak. So I started speaking slow because I had to think of.
And you were stuttering.
Yeah, I couldn't, like, I was trying so hard not to mix the two together.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, coming to America, like, that's just what comes with
that's,
it.
I think that's sad, the erasure of language, because the language is such an important part of our culture.
Yeah.
It is, because I'm so lucky in the sense that I was born in America. My parents are Igbo, and if y'all are confused, Yoruba, Igbo, what is that? Yoruba and Igbo are two popular languages in Nigeria. So my tribe is Igbo, and Shone's tribe is Yoruba, or Yoruba. So I'm blessed in the fact that even though I was born in America, my parents like made a concerted effort to speak Igbo at home. So growing up, whenever they told me something in Igbo, I could fully understand what they were saying. And now as I'm getting older and I have like actual interest in the language, I'm able to pick it up more and speak it to the point where somebody understands what I'm saying. But that's not common of very many people.
Do you think your kids are gonna carry that on?
No.
I know, that's
I'm
going
to try my best
too.
To preserve the culture and make them take Igbo classes, and I'll take Igbo classes myself.
Yeah, they're going to have to, like, go spend summers with their grandparents and stuff.
And that's sad. Do you ever think about that, like, the erasure of culture when you have kids in America?
Yeah, that's actually scary to me. But I know if my kids spend enough time with my mom, because she speaks Yoruba to me all day.
That's
home.
Good. That's good.
And I would respond back in English. Or if we're out in public, then she'll speak English to me. But I think that's how I was able to retain the language, just because at home it's just my mom speaking Yoruba.
Same. And my mom is the same
so,
way.
So, like, I think, you know, if my kids were to be around that for at least their, you know, till they're about 5 or 6, they'll be able to retain that language.
Hopefully. That's the hope.
But
it's interesting.
It's kind of scary. You know?
It is
especially
scary.
If you don't marry, like, someone from your same tribe. Now that's two languages
they have
to learn.
Either two languages or no languages, because it's going to be hard to immerse them in both.
And then on top of that, like, I think before I didn't really care much to really learn the cuisine of Nigerian cuisine, right? But, like, now I'm really, well, within the past, like, 3 years, I really, like, committed to learning it because I didn't want it to get lost.
Right.
I want my kids to know what fufu is, what red stew,
how
red
to cook,
stew and
yeah.
rice hits.
Everything. Yeah, because
how amazing those
If y'all haven't had
are.
Jollof rice or white rice and stew, it's so good. I implore you guys, try it. But yeah, that's the fear.
And it's kind of scary. Like, what if they, within like the next 4 generations, they think they're from America?
I mean, it's inevitable.
That's
sad. It's going to happen. That's why.
I don't want that to happen. It's sad, but I don't want them to think their culture, their history is
American. I mean, raising them in this country and having them in this country, you don't have control over that.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, your children are going to be adults and they have a mind of their own.
Right.
Yes, as parents, you want your kids to marry somebody from your culture.
Yeah.
But you ultimately don't know who your parent or who your kids are going to fall in love with. And especially when you get one generation removed from the culture, another generation, you lose that sense of where you came from.
Yeah.
And eventually it's going to come to the point where they're going to see themselves as American.
I think as African kids, we're lucky that we do not have the history of Black Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately for us, we were lucky. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's not something I want my kids to think that. Is part of their history.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously, in a way, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't want them to feel like
the burden of generational slavery.
Exactly. You know, like, oh, my great-grandmother. Like, nah, I'm your great-grandmother.
Yeah.
And I was brought here, you know,
right. And
willingly.
You want your kids to know where they came from.
I mean, like, I don't mean to offend anyone, but, like, I'm sure no Black American wants to think about, oh, my great-grandparents. Like, it hurts to think of that's your history, you know
From,
what I mean?
Like, slavery?
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
it is.
It's
and
hurtful.
Shone and I talk about this all the time. We had a long talk about it, how Nigerians are able to benefit off the progress of Black Americans.
Yeah.
The Black Americans in this country in the 60s, before a lot of us started coming to America, they fought for civil rights. They fought for everything. And then Nigerians, with what they value, which is education, they're really smart
it's
in Nigeria.
So sad.
They come over here and take advantage of every system, affirmative action, everything.
What was the stat you said?
I think it's like 70% of Black doctors in the United States are African, like meaning like from Nigeria, not like a Black American, which
that's
is crazy.
Like, it kind of, you know, like I'm proud of us, but I can't help but to feel like, dang, that's like,
it sucks.
That's not right,
yeah.
you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know where we segued off.
Yeah, I think we were talking about how like Nigerians have high scores, yet they also have like
a minority.
Blessed with like or, yeah. Mm-hmm. With, like, things like affirmative action and stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's just, this system is like, messed up.
It's so messed up because it's, that's why I say affirmative action is not helping who it's intended to help that much.
It's not a perfect system, and I don't know what way we can change things to make it benefit who it's supposed to benefit, but I don't know. I think that any type of implementation to help people is good, but we can always work to be better. So now we are going to transition into In the News, and there's a lot of stuff going on in the news this week. So first of all...
Hold on. Uh-huh. You guys need to see Justin's glasses right now. I just cannot take you seriously.
Oh, God. You guys, like a couple weeks ago, I stepped on my glasses I snapped one of the like hinges. So now I'm wearing my glasses with one hinge on my face because I can't drive without my glasses. So this is how... This is how I have to live my life. But interestingly, speaking of glasses, if you guys haven't heard of Warby Parker, this is where I'm going to get my new frames from. They actually allow you to select 5 frames, and then they ship it to your house for free. And then you get to pick whatever one you want, try it on, see it in person. And then once you have the one that you like, you send it back free of charge and you have your glasses. And it's really cheap because it starts at like $95. So if you want extra stuff like thin lenses.
Yeah, I think the most expensive I've seen from them is like one. It hasn't surpassed $200.
Oh, really?
Like when it's I went to their shop at Nord Park, they have really amazing glasses. Mm-hmm. I don't wear glasses, but I would.
For clout?
Just for clout.
Glasses for clout. No, I love glasses, and a lot of people tell me that I look better with glasses than without. So
a lot of people look better with glasses.
Do you agree with that or no?
I think so.
Okay. Interesting.
I just love glasses. Same. Honestly.
But yeah, another story that's happening. A week and a half ago, Ellen DeGeneres was seen at a Dallas Cowboys game. She was sitting in a luxury box, and the person that she was sitting next to was no other than George W. Bush, former president of the United States. And after images surfaced of her sitting next to him and them laughing and giggling together, people felt some type of way. Because as we know, Ellen is like an advocate for equality and gay rights and treating people fairly and nicely. And Bush, during his term, a lot of people forget that he perpetuated a fake war, got a lot of people killed, a lot of civilians in the Middle East killed based on a war that was false. They said that there was weapons of mass destruction in the Middle East, so we invaded Iraq and really destabilized the Middle East, and they have never been the same after that. And a lot of people forget that. So a lot of people were upset because how can Ellen fight for equality, but yet she's giggling and laughing with this former president that was very problematic. So Ellen said that she and George W. Bush are friends, and that's why they were sitting next to each other. And here's a clip from her show where she's explaining herself.
But a lot of people were mad, and they did what people do when they're mad. They tweet. But here's one tweet that I loved. This person says, Ellen and George Bush together makes me have faith in America again. And I'm friends with George Bush. In fact, I'm friends with a lot of people who don't share the same beliefs that I have. We're all different, and I think that we've forgotten that that's okay that we're all different. For instance, I wish people wouldn't wear fur. I don't like it, but I'm friends with people who wear fur. But just because I don't agree with someone on everything doesn't mean that I'm not going to be friends with them. When I say be kind to one another, I don't mean only the people that think the same way that you do. I mean be kind to everyone. Doesn't matter.
Okay, so
it just didn't bother me.
Okay, the people that are upset, do they have a point to be upset?
Yeah, especially if you're from Iraq or if you're really
if you lost somebody in the war.
If you lost somebody in the war, I would totally understand. But a lot of people, I think that's just the American privilege where Americans get to choose, you know, what bothers them and what does not.
I think it's just hypocritical on her part.
It might be problematic of me to not feel so strongly.
I mean, you don't have to. Like, if you don't feel some type of way.
Because I don't even know. Like, the thing is, when I moved from Nigeria, I was just coming right around the time that, you know, George Bush was almost about to leave, kind of there. The army was already over there. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know much about, you know,
what happened in the Middle East. All a little bit younger.
When I see him, I don't really get any
feeling of resentment.
Feelings. Just by the time my kids grow up and I talk about Trump and how annoying he is and blah, 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 they're not going to feel that strongly about it.
Right. You know what I mean? I mean, but even though you weren't, like, really of age to understand what was happening, like, the dynamic of being next to kind of a controversial figure, but yet you're preaching love everybody, but yet this guy killed so many people and perpetrated a fake war, it kind of makes her look, like, fake because it's, like, this elitist thing where the more money you have, problems really don't matter. And he was against gay rights.
People don't understand when you have money, you're in another bracket. Mm-hmm. Like,
literally, they don't really care about us.
I'm serious. Like, these celebrities and rich people, like, they are their own class. Mm-hmm. I feel like people don't understand that. Like, people will get upset that some rich black people don't, like, they're saying stuff that it's like they're not living in society. But the truth is, they're not. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't blame. I mean, I don't get mad when I see people like Kanye saying stuff like that because he does not know reality. He's rich. Mm-hmm. He probably has not been discriminated against since, I don't
he
know
when. He got money.
You know what I mean? I don't think Beyonce and Jay-Z have been discriminated against.
No, when you have so much money, you're so far removed from
the world's problems. Like, people have to kind of tell you what's going on in the world.
Or if they feel passionate about something, they support it with their money.
But the thing is, like, they're a class of their own, so it doesn't surprise me that she doesn't feel strongly about something like that.
But it's like we have this revisionist history when it comes to our figures in the world. Like, you can give Michelle Obama mint, now everybody loves you. You can be close to Ellen, now everybody loves you. But people forget what he did. Like, the state of the country after the Bush administration was terrible. Yeah. And people forget that. Like, he really messed up a lot of, like, what's happening with the country. So
I feel like I need to educate myself.
Yeah, sure, everybody should, definitely. Maybe a little bit people are blowing it out of proportion, but at the same time, if you're going to advocate for these things, you need to be aware that other people are going to feel some type of way about your association with somebody like that.
That's what I'm saying, because she's rich, like, she also has to not be problematic and say things that are in line with what society is thinking, if that makes sense. Like, I've never heard Ellen say anything controversial.
Right.
Except, you know, fighting for gay rights, which is not controversial anymore. But these celebrities and rich people are not going to actively say something that is going to be, you know, get people, cancel culture on them. You know what I mean? Cancel culture is brutal. I wouldn't want cancel culture on me.
Cancel
you
me?
Like dogs? I like dogs too. You know what I mean? Okay. Exactly. They're literally saying everything. Their team, they have a team that is working to understand.
Overtime.
Exactly. To understand what society is like now so they don't say the wrong things.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But, you know, when Ellen said that, when I say be kind, that means be kind to everybody. But if she was sitting next to Trump, would she be kind to everybody?
No, she wouldn't, because society is not for Trump.
Well,
because she's going with the flow.
But
with
a lot of, honestly, like, Bush might have done things that are worse than what Trump has done, to be honest.
But society has given Bush, like, kind of like a pass because of the mint situation with Michelle Obama.
Revisionist history.
Exactly. Like, nobody really hates. Everyone, like, loved that relationship.
Yeah.
And now everyone saw him in a new light. But with Trump, like, celebrities like her will never dare to be in that same.
No,
room.
Never.
I would not be surprised if they've actually been really friendly towards each other, you know, been in the same circle.
Right.
I would not be surprised.
It's just fake. It's just annoying because she says, when I say be kind to everybody. But if Trump was in your same box sitting next to you, you would move away. You would not want to associate with him at all. So what makes sitting next to George W. Bush okay, you know? Like, and they had the same stances, like, towards the LGBT community. Like, Trump put justices that don't really, like, they voted against gay marriage and Bush put two Supreme Court justices on there that voted against gay marriage, and yet it doesn't make sense. You can't just pick and choose who you want to be nice to. If you really mean be nice to everybody, bring Trump onto your show. Be friendly with him. Be kind with him. Paint him in a good light on your show. Really look at who you're supporting and who you like, and look at their double standards and how they're hypocritical. Like, just think about it. Would Trump be invited to the Ellen show? Would she be kind to him if they were in the same room?
Nope.
No. So why is it okay to be next to Bush?
Actually, I don't know. Ellen is...
She wouldn't.
I feel like she would, like, talk to him with respect.
I don't think so.
I think so.
No, she wouldn't.
I think I've seen that with Ellen a lot. Like, she is pretty respectful.
I don't, like, I don't trust all these celebrities. That's why I don't look at celebrities as judgment calls for me.
I like who I like
and what I like, and what a celebrity thinks doesn't really matter to me. I'm not swayed by it because we're all human and we're all flawed. So.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, and she exposed herself with that. We're all flawed, so it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel any malicious feelings towards her. I'm not. I still think she's pretty amazing for all she's done.
She's done a lot.
One little thing is not going to cancel her.
Oh, I'm not considering her canceled. I'm just saying, really take a deep look at these people that you like so much, because they can be problematic no matter how much good
you do. They're humans.
Yeah.
Not everyone's celebrity is going to be, like, sometimes it, you know, I'm a huge Beyonce fan, but I highly doubt, like,
a stan.
I don't know about stan, but I'm a huge fan. I highly doubt, like, she really, you know, that everything she really, like, researched herself. Mm-hmm. You know, I think she has a team, like, every celebrity.
Exactly. That I mean, and she doesn't even know how to read, so, like.
Jessa, I'm going to choke you.
Oh, God.
I'm going to walk out of this.
Oh, no. She loves B so much.
Anyways.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just saying, like, a lot of these celebrities, like, it's important that if you're their fans, like, they're not living in your world.
Right.
They do not understand what's going on like that. They need people. This is why, like, if you've noticed, like, artists, their music gets, like, less, like, you don't really
connect or what?
You don't really connect with those artists as they, like, get more popular.
Yeah, because as they get more popular,
they get richer. Anymore.
Like, that's, like, Kanye is a perfect example.
Exactly. Like, he would, remember when he was rapping about things he was experiencing, and then after that, like, you're so rich now that
he has different problems now.
Right. You have never. Since you got that first couple of millions, there's not been a racist insight to
He's
you.
Never, it's never you know been I mean? The same, yeah.
Exactly. Like, if there is, they're fired immediately and you're compensated.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't experience those things anymore.
Right.
They experience different things. And it shows in their music when all they can rap about now is
money,
women and clothes and sex.
Material things.
Because
that's what the world is about.
That's all they see now. As opposed to before, like, they were rapping about the streets and the struggle and how it was to get up there. Now, literally, I don't see anything. But
I mean, I don't blame them. If you're removed from something, like, you can't relate to those things anymore. That's why a lot of people in the hood say that, oh, the money changed him. It did change it. Yeah. It changes everybody. If I had money, it wouldn't change me internally, but it would change, like, my surroundings. Of course, my neighborhood would be different. My car would be different. The people I'm associated with would be different. So it's a part of life. So hold these celebrities that you love accountable.
Yeah, 'cause they're not living in your world.
Nope. All right. So the next story I have, I actually have a question. So the popular singer Lizzo, she's always been under attack. We love Lizzo, right?
Yeah, I like Lizzo.
I like her too. She's been coming under fire on Twitter. A lot of people don't consider her a rapper.
Every time I hear Twitter, I just kind of
roll your eyes.
Yeah, because I don't trust Twitter, and Twitter is just filled with
trash.
Extreme people.
Trash. People that think that they know what they're talking about and they don't.
Extreme people. I remember when I knew Twitter was trash, it was one time I was watching this girl really, like, literally brutalize Bruno Mars. Like, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah.
Yeah. He's not black and this.
I was just like, what the heck am I doing on this platform? Like, this is the type of people that are, like, overpowering people's thoughts and mind. Like, are you really thinking that, or did Twitter?
Twitter is all groupthink, and it's very just hateful to me. I'll never make a Twitter. I don't care about all these thoughts that people have. Oh, this and that, don't care. Oh, this and that, don't care. Like, a lot of people
never make a Twitter, but you know everything that goes on Twitter. Interesting.
I know. Interesting, isn't it? But yeah, I'll never make one. I say this all the time. People have a lot of opinions, and I don't care about most of them. So I'll keep my space. I'll stick to Instagram and whatever the likes, but that's just me.
So
but,
what do you say?
The argument that people have been focused on Twitter is this idea that Lizzo is not a rapper. Do you consider Lizzo a rapper?
I don't care. She makes good music. No,
she keeps defending herself.
She says she's a rapper? Mm-hmm. If she says she's a rapper, she's a rapper.
In my opinion, I don't think she's a rapper.
If any... This is America. Whatever you say you are is
That's
what
true.
You are.
That's true.
Honestly.
I'm not going to get into all of that because that'll be a whole another episode. But
if she's a rapper, she's a rapper.
She's not a rapper. If she's a rapper, then Ariana Grande is a rapper.
Okay.
Yeah, I want it. I got it. I want it. I got it. You like my hair?
Oh my
just
God.
Bought it.
It's going to be so sad that people forget that Soulja Boy really like...
Paved the way for these girls.
Not paved the way, but that song is from Soulja Boy.
Yeah. Pretty Boy Swag. The girls, swag.
Everybody, pay
attention. I love that song.
Right here is my pretty boy swag.
Okay, so what do y'all think? Is Lizzo a rapper? She keeps defending herself and saying that she is. In my opinion, she's not, because when I hear Lizzo's music, I don't hear rap. Hear pop.
Where is rap in that, though? I'm just trying to think about it.
And Truth Hurts.
I just did a DNA test.
Just because you talk on a song, that's not rapping.
I guess they should make a new genre of singing rapping. Sing raps. Beyonce's been doing sing raps for a long time.
I'm tired of it. Anyway. So, did you see that Bernie Sanders...
Somebody's about to get knocked.
Right. <Just kidding. laughs> Did you see that Bernie Sanders had a heart attack?
Oh, yeah,
I did. What do you think? Should he drop out?
No. I can't believe we're going to let Bernie Sanders go again. But the thing is, Elizabeth Warren, she's like, whatever Bernie Sanders said, but like, only 40% of that.
I don't know. They're very similar. High. But when my parents saw that Bernie Sanders had a heart attack, they hate him.
My dad? I don't know why my dad hates him either. I'm just like, do you just hate him because he's old? Like,
yes.
That's so horrible.
It's so stupid. Like, every time Bernie Sanders pops up
what
on the TV.
Is it called old phobia?
Yeah. I don't know. My parents are always like, look at him. He is old. Like,
just like, can you chill?
So is every other president.
Well, my dad did say, like, he was unrealistic and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, how are you going to call somebody unrealistic when you haven't even given them a chance?
At least
imagine if we let Bernie Sanders go and he actually would have, like, made public colleges free. And he actually would have
cut down. They would have loved that.
You know, debt.
Mm-hmm. They would love his policies, but they don't like him. Yeah. A lot of African parents do not Sanders. It's so funny.
I think it's because African parents are so realistic. Mm-hmm. Where they're like,
or they think they're realistic.
They think they are. Where they just think he's just throwing around fantasies and stuff. And they don't believe in, like...
Handouts.
And what he promises is a lot of handouts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They believe, like, for them struggling and then making it is what counts as making it.
And nobody should get stuff for free.
How dare you not pay $50,000 a year for college?
If I had to work, you should work too.
Exactly. How dare you not do that?
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
But, yeah, Bernie Sanders had a heart attack. I don't know how this is going to affect the race, but it's interesting because he's been taking a break, which he should, and recovering. So
I hope he's okay.
I hope so, too.
He's such a nice man. He's real.
Yeah.
I mean, based on what I see.
Right, same. So the last story I have is about music. And Pitchfork, which is a popular music publication, released their top 200 songs and albums of the 2010s so far. And they had some interesting picks. So we're going to talk about the top 10, and we're going to agree or disagree on whether we believe the list holds up in our opinion.
Oh, boy.
All right. And at number 10, they have Lil Uzi Vert's XO Tour Life.
I don't even know what that song is.
That's the song that goes, I don't really care if you die.
Oh.
all my friends are dead.
Oh, God. Push
me to the edge. I think that's...
That song used to make me...
I think that's a good song. I really like that song.
Yeah, it took an okay song, but top 10 in the whole world?
It's the 2010s.
2010s?
Yeah,
top 10?
For this decade.
Are they crazy?
I think it's a good song. Maybe at number 10...
Top 10?
I don't think so.
That's like number 150.
You're right. That, and it's an, I don't know.
I don't
top 10, no.
That.
But culturally, people like love Lil Uzi Vert. I don't know.
I mean, he's cute and all. He's adorable.
But number 10?
But number 10?
I disagree.
Maybe number 300?
300?
Yeah.
The list only goes to 200.
Oh, number 200
then. Okay. Number 9 is Lana Del Rey.
Oh, yes. Whatever Lana Del Rey puts out, gotta be top 5.
Lana Del Rey's Video Game.
Yes.
How does that one go? It's you. It's me. It's you. We have it all the time. Heaven is a place for you. And oh, that's ruining the recording. Okay. Hopefully that doesn't happen again. And we were in a groove.
I'm so sorry.
Let's start again. Heaven is a place for you and I.
You don't even know the words.
I don't even know.
Can you not sing the song if you don't know the words? Thank you.
So you sing it.
I know that you want a bad girl.
Only
is not true.
Does that deserve number 9?
It deserves number 5.
Really?
Yes.
I think culturally that song has done a lot. I remember my sophomore year of high school, everybody was obsessed with this song.
Is that the song? Is that Video Game?
Yeah, Video Games.
Oh, yeah. I'm playing video games.
It's an okay song.
She has better songs than that.
I like blue jeans, white shirt, walked into your mind, and boy, you made my eyes blur. You was like codeine.
What song should be on there? Should be like Young and Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, no, goodness. That song was on The Great Gatsby, but that really? Song was beautiful.
Okay. Number 8, yes. They have Cranes.
I saw the picture.
Cranes in the Sky by Solange.
I try to fix it with my hair.
I like this song. Cranes in the sky.
Sometimes I don't want to feel that.
Love it. Love it. The Cranes in the Sky, I think that's deserving of number 8. Okay. Number 7 is a song called Mitski. It's called Your Best American Girl. I don't listen to Mitski, so I don't really have an opinion about that.
I don't either.
Skipping. Number 6 is Problematic. Azealia Banks, 212.
Azealia Banks is so talented, period.
Period.
She's so problematic.
She is. She's my problematic fave.
She would have been so great.
I like Azealia Banks.
She would have been so, but she is like going through some like psychological, spiritual, you know, it's like she apparently cuts chickens in her.
She's just weird.
And like sacrifices them, bro. It's just so, she's just mentally unstable.
But the music is good.
Her music, she could have been like as great as
Nicki Minaj and all these other rappers. She has the talent.
She was supposed to change the face of rap, though, for women.
My sophomore year of high school, I was telling people, do you listen to Azealia Banks? She's going to be the next big thing.
She should have. Just ruined all of that. God. Now, all she does is hate on black women.
She's problematic. But 212, is it deserving of number 6 on the list?
Yeah.
Okay. What you gonna do when I premiere? Bitch, when I premiere, it's the end of the life, and yeah.
Oh, she's so great.
Number 5 on Pitchfork's list of top 200 songs of the 2010s, Frank Ocean, Thinking About You. Deserving.
Yeah, that song was everywhere. But I don't like hearing it.
Oh, I love it.
It got annoying to me.
I was down with you forever.
I've been thinking about you forever.
No. Okay, number 4 is... Oh, yes. This is absolutely deserving. It should be number 1 on the list.
Beyonce?
Beyonce's Formation. Okay. Yes.
I don't know if it should be number 1.
I
think it's where it should be.
I think Formation is Beyonce's best song.
Hell no.
What's Beyonce's best song?
Let me think. Crazy in Love.
Really?
That song is always
It's her most iconic song. I love Crazy in Love, but I love Formation more.
I like Crazy in Love more.
I see it. I want it. I stunt yellow boning. I dream it. I work hard. I grind till I own it.
Ooh. Stir a lot of my haters.
Albino alligators. El Camino with the scene low. Sipping Cuervo with no chisa. Oh, I love it. Okay, number 3 is Robin's Dancing on My Own. Don't know that song.
Don't know that song.
I know either. Robin. She's, I think, I don't know, Australian or what. I don't know. But don't know that song. Number 2.
Send me this list. I can add some new artists to my
I know. List. A playlist. Number 2 is Grime's song called Oblivion.
Never heard of it.
I don't listen to Grime, so I don't know. And number 1 is Kendrick Lamar's All Right.
You know, Kendrick Lamar, I stan him more than I stan Beyonce.
Really?
But he just never shows his face that much. But I think All Right.
We gonna be all right.
Shouldn't be number 1.
I think that.
What do you think should be number 1? What song? Like any song that comes to your head?
I think, maybe Coldplay's Yellow. Oh, that's not 2010s. For 2010s, oh, I would say Frank Ocean's Pyramids. Yes! We're gone to the future!
Not many people know like that song. Really? I don't even really know that song.
I don't know.
I would say. If we're talking about iconic songs,
mm-hmm.
I do not like this artist at all.
Uh-huh.
But I will not. I will admit that she definitely. This song was played forever.
What is it?
Bodak Yellow.
No, for number 1 of the 2010s.
Song was iconic.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm tripping.
You are really tripping.
I do not even like
her. No,
I'm tripping.
No.
Man.
I don't know. What do you guys think should be the top song of the 2010s? Do y'all agree with our takes on the top 10 list so far? Like, what do y'all think? I don't know. All Right, I don't agree with. I think
I don't agree with
a lot
right
of critics
either.
Overrate Kendrick Lamar.
Okay, can you stop?
No, it's true. Like, he's always on everybody's, like, top 10 list.
He is.
Like,
because the Grammys love him. He's such a quality artist. Like, artists like that do not come about easily.
He's great, but...
they come about once in a while. None of his projects have ever disappointed me.
Not true. Wait till his next project. Let's see if your opinion holds up.
I'm telling you, it just keeps getting better. All of it. I've never met an artist where all of their mixtapes are just as good as their albums. Mm-hmm. All of their albums are amazing. Right. And they've only gotten better. He even won a Pulitzer Prize for his last album. Right. Damn.
Mm-hmm.
It's only just going to keep getting better.
Okay. We'll see. Hopefully, I like him.
And
he's not problematic. I like him. What's not to like about Kendrick Lamar?
What's not to like?
He's low-key. Yeah, he's not out there all the time.
He's himself.
He's cool. Okay, so now let's quickly run through albums. So Pitchfork also did a top 200 list of albums of the 2010s.
Okay.
And here's the top 10. So number 10, they have Frank Ocean's Channel Orange. I agree with this.
Yeah, I agree with this too.
I love it. I love this album. And I think it could possibly be number one on this list.
I think, I don't know.
Really?
No.
Okay.
It couldn't be number one.
I really do love Frank Ocean, and this album is deserving of top 10.
I like his newest album, Chanel. Oh, wait.
Blonde. Okay.
That's a Chanel.
That's the song, but same. Yeah, same
Blonde.
Difference.
I prefer Blonde to Channel Orange.
Really?
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
So. Ivy is my favorite song on Blonde.
Me too.
Yeah. I thought that I was dreaming.
And also like Pink and White.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it. Okay, number 9.
Nikes.
Oh,
all
I thought you
it.
Said Nikes. It's
all
Nikes.
It. Oh, Nikes, Nikes, all of it.
Okay, number 9, we have D'Angelo and the Vanguard's Black Messiah.
I've heard it.
I've heard of D'Angelo. He's like an R&B
artist.
Yeah,
I've heard of D'Angelo, but I haven't heard the album. I'm sure it's good.
It got some Grammy nominations. I don't listen to him, so I can't give an opinion. Number 8, we have Robin's Body Talk. Don't listen to Robin.
Never.
Don't know who that is. Number 7, we have Vampire Weekend's Modern Vampires of the City.
No.
I don't listen
to
them.
The thing is, I don't know if I listen to albums as much as I listen to...
Singles.
Hmm. And, like, songs.
Okay.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. Number 6, we have Solange's A Seat at the Table.
Yep. That should be number 1.
I don't think it should be number 1. Definitely,
that should be number 1.
It's worthy of number 6.
Worthy of number 3.
I think it's properly placed on this list. That's such a great album.
That song... Solange is creating a new genre of music, but y'all don't hear me, though. No one does. Like, her last album, that's the next sound out there. You know how Travis Scott came out with his sound and then everyone ran with
Changed the game.
Yep. He came out with his look and his sound and everyone ran with it.
Give Solange her coins.
I don't even think Beyonce created something like that.
Well,
where,
it's
like,
hard to create.
People are looking... or trying to look like her.
Well,
people
it's hard to create something when you don't know how to read.
Justin, stop.
Oh, God. Anyway, number 5.
How rude of you. If your when your podcast blows up and she hears all of this, just know it's all over.
I'm going to say I was a different
person. You're going to be canceled quickly. You know, that's the quickest way to be canceled in this world.
Is attacking the Beehive.
To talk about Beyonce.
Oh, God.
So.
I like Beyonce. I like
now you like Beyonce.
No, I've always liked her. No, if anybody knows me, knows that I'm a fan of Beyonce. I just like to play because I don't know if she can read.
As soon as you blow up, the Beehive are going to shut you down quickly.
I'm dead. Okay, let's hurry up and finish this list. Okay, we have number 5, Fiona Apple's The Idler Wheel is Wiser Than the Driver of the Screw, and Whipping Cords Will Serve You More Than Ropes Will Ever Do.
Don't.
That is the most longest title I've ever seen.
That's unique.
It is. Never heard of it.
Never heard of it either.
Number 4, we have Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yes. Yes,
I think that's deserving.
That album changed my perspective
on the world.
Everything. Hmm. Yes. The album helped me, like, made me want to learn about, like, deeper about African American history.
Hmm.
I remember I always listened to the album for a couple of months, and I would go to Barnes and Noble's and read their books about everything that I could find about African American history.
He's deserving of number 4. To Pimp a Butterfly is a great album. It should have won Album
Changed
of the Year.
The world. It should have.
But Taylor Swift won.
Oh, it was Taylor Swift?
Yeah, for 1989. Ugh. Trash. Ugh,
don't even. Who remembers that?
Nobody
exactly.
does.
Exactly. That's what just shows the Grammys ran by one type of person.
Y'all don't get me started on Taylor Swift. Okay, number 3.
She's like Cardi B, where it's like, I don't understand.
I don't get the hype.
I don't get the hype.
Taylor Swift is like white people's Beyonce.
I don't even understand that. Like, honestly.
What?
There's so many white people that could be a white person, Beyonce. And but it's not Taylor Swift.
If Taylor Swift is their Beyonce. Like, they love Taylor Swift. You need to calm down. Like, she sings stupid stuff.
Is Ariana Grande not white? She's
white. She's Italian, I think.
Yeah, she should be their Beyonce.
I think she needs to do a lot of growing before she's like.
I know Blake Lively. If Blake Lively could sing.
No, there's a lot of white artists that. Adele should be their Beyonce.
Adele should be. How can you choose Taylor Swift?
Anyway, we're getting sidetracked.
Oh, please.
Number three, Beyonce self-titled album, Beyonce. I disagree with this. I completely disagree with this.
That wasn't her best album at all.
You guys, this might be my hot take of the week. This album is not good.
Like, okay, I wouldn't say it's not good.
It's not. It has not stood the test of time. It hasn't.
It hasn't. What, you're right.
Only one or two songs.
I think the only thing, the reason why it's so iconic was she began the trend of dropping music.
Surprise albums.
Surprise albums. Mm-hmm. That album was the beginning of all of that.
Yeah,
it
true.
It changed the music industry it did. Forever.
It is iconic
and
for
I think
that.
It's iconic for how much it sold, mm-hmm. how big it got with no marketing,
the
no
music
nothing.
Videos.
It just came and it was like, what, a video album?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
nobody was doing
nobody
that.
Nobody was ever doing that. That yeah. was the first time. I think that's why it was like.
Such a big deal.
Such a big deal.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's iconic, but it's about the content, too. You make albums, and it's about the music. Yes, we love the videos. Yes, we love
just
the way it was released.
I feel like the music wasn't that good.
It really wasn't. Good. Okay, you guys, if you guys like Beyonce or follow Beyonce, her self-titled album, that black album with the pink text, the one that had all these visuals and stuff, yeah. it's not that good. What song from there has stood the test of time? Only,
I may be young, but I'm ready.
That's on four. See, no, how are you a Beyonce fan and you don't even
okay,
know which
songs? Okay, calm down.
Songs.
Calm down. I know what's on that song. Haunted?
Yeah. See, nobody.
Heaven could have.
No.
That song made me cry.
Nobody talks about any of these songs. They haven't stood the test of time.
That's true.
The only ones that have is maybe Drunk in Love. And
Drunk in Love.
That's about it. Like, maybe that album is not that good. Superpower, boring.
Well,
Heaven,
the
boring.
Is, like, it's not good to Beyonce standards, but it is pretty good if somebody else that wasn't Beyonce made those songs.
I don't think so. It wasn't even hits for Beyonce, so I doubt anybody would. It wasn't. None of those songs really charted well except Drunk in Love. That was the only, like,
that's
big
true,
hit from that
yeah.
album. What do y'all got? What do you guys think about Beyonce's
pretty
album?
Hurts.
That's a horrible song. It really is. It's so cliche.
You're tripping.
It's boring. Like, that album is just boring to
drop
me.
Drop the bass. Made the bass.
Beyonce.
Radio,
ugh. Beyonce all in his mouth like liquor.
What about 7-Eleven? She really just.
That's like on the bonus
she
edition.
She really just scammed us with that song.
And the video.
Everyone went and watched that for and she got so much money from a nonsense song.
I hate that song. Honestly, hold that Coke like alcohol.
I know.
Hold that Coke like
imagine?
Alcohol.
She probably made that in like 5 minutes and then she made millions of it.
That like the album is not good. So what do you guys think of the album? Is it good? Do I have a point? Has it stood the test of time? Yes, it's iconic.
It has
but,
it, obviously.
Yeah, it's
but
not good.
Just like the changes it made in the world.
Right.
The impact it made in the music industry
mm-hmm.
was something that
it's monumental.
It's very monumental.
As Adele said, whenever she won against Beyonce for Album of the Year, Beyonce, what you did was so monumental, so monumental.
The way you make my black
friends feel is amazing, and
it's
you
amazing.
Make them stand up for themselves. And I love you.
And I
always
you.
Have, and I always will. To the Grammys, I appreciate it. To my husband and my son, you're the only reason I do it. Thank you very oh much God. To everybody.
I'm so sad she's getting a divorce.
I don't
never
care.
Wish a divorce for anyone. You suck.
I don't care. If you're unhappy,
divorce
leave
is
that
so
man.
That's so sad.
It is.
Yeah.
And the way that you make me and my friends feel, the way you make my black friends feel is empowering and you make them stand up for themselves. And I love you. I always have and I always will. Grammys, I appreciate it. The Academy, I love you. My manager, my husband and my son. You're the only reason I do it. Thank you so much. Thank you very much to everybody.
Okay, number two, we got sidetracked again. What? Number two, we have Kanye West, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Deserving.
Yeah.
Ugh. Deserving.
I hate giving him anything.
I know, but
he's
that
a talented artist, let's be real. He's just problematic.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult for me to separate the artist from the
art.
From the art.
Yeah.
And, like, it would be easy if they were only problematic once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, I think Drake's problematic once in a while.
Right.
But he's not problematic constantly for a couple of months.
Right.
And now I can't erase it from my mind.
Right. We love the old Kanye, but my dark, beautiful, my, I don't even know how to talk. My beautiful, dark, twisted fantasy
and
deserves,
you know,
number two.
I kind of like the new Kanye, too, except the bipolar
no,
album
I'm good.
He made.
You can have him.
It was horrible.
You can have him.
That album was horrible. But everything else, I've actually really enjoyed all of Kanye's work.
Number one, we have Frank Ocean's Blonde. Deserves.
Number one? How dare they not get Beyonce?
No, okay. Your obsession with Beyonce is too much. Beyonce is not the greatest artist of... Oh, yeah, okay. You know how they put Beyonce's album as number three for self-titled? Lemonade needs to take
that
spot.
Lemonade should have taken that
spot. I love Lemonade.
Lemonade's great. Actually, I really enjoy The Gift more than Lemonade.
That's an unpopular opinion.
That's I think it's because I all the artists there are Nigerian.
I love Lemonade.
I listen to African music a lot.
Yeah. I stand Lemonade till the day I die.
Lemonade, I think I like it a lot because of the visual.
Yeah. But yeah, this was an interesting list. Most of the stuff I did agree with, but good job, Pitchfork.
Yeah.
It's really hard to tabulate 200 albums and rank them, but
yeah.
I don't know how I would do it, but I would agree
obviously,
with this list.
Obviously, like, you can clearly tell, like, you think the board was mostly black people?
No. I think because a lot of white people listen to hip-hop and stuff, so I'm sure it was a collaborative
effort. That's where a lot of, like, their diehard fans actually come from.
Yeah.
The people who put in money and come to, like, 300 shows,
mm-hmm.
those are, like...
The editors that put this together.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, what do y'all think of the list? Did y'all agree with our takes on their top 10 list of best albums? Let us know. So now we're going to move on to our main topic. Okay. So this week we're talking about self-confidence and self-esteem. So I know a lot of us deal with self-esteem and confidence issues growing up, and a lot of us still haven't gotten over that. Like, do you think that you've dealt with that?
Okay, so it took me a minute to, you know, you come from Nigeria and, like, you have an accent, you look, you know, you don't look the norm,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you get bullied. Until, like, I got bullied until I lost my accent, which was from third grade till fifth grade or fourth. Or, yeah. That time was kind of, like, was kind of traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of messed with my self-esteem for a bit. But then, you know, I think, like, my parents, I don't know what it is they did with me, but they've always encouraged me to be vocal in a way. Like, something about them has made me be vocal and, like, independent. Mm-hmm. It's really helped myself.
Well, Africans are very, like, assertive people.
Yeah.
So my parents are very assertive, and they always taught me to question things, to listen, to fight back. So growing up, I never really had confidence issues or self-esteem. Actually, I never had confidence issues, but I did have self-esteem issues.
Yeah.
But my approach to getting over things that might be scary or that might make me feel some type of way is to always think about things like this. When I have situations that are tough and are hard to overcome, I always ask myself, what is the worst that can happen?
Mm-hmm.
And it's never really that bad. By asking myself that, I'm able to brace myself and approach the situation and have no fear. Because a lot of people, like, are scared when it comes to public speaking or whatever it might be.
And I really think, like, at home is really important to self-esteem and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like growing up again, like, my parents have always let me be very vocal. Not, like, disrespectful, but, like, I could literally pitch in to stuff. You know what I mean? And so, at a very young age, I think younger than most people, I just realized I prefer what I'm saying anyway. You know what I mean?
You're always right.
Like, not even that I'm always right. Like, I don't even have to fit in. Like, I don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would rather do what I want to do anyways.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that just really, I'm just grateful that I learned that at a very young age. Because you know how you can tell when someone has, like, low self-esteem?
Mm-hmm.
You can tell when someone's not so confident and stuff in who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like God, my parents, myself, all of that played a factor into me
being how you are now. Yeah. And I think that everybody sometimes goes on that journey. For me, I'm a firm believer of if you look good, you feel good. And that's how I get a lot of my confidence.
Yep.
Whenever I go to the barbershop and I get me a clean fade, I'm like, I'm that bitch. Okay? Like, whenever I look good, I feel good and I radiate confidence.
Uh-huh.
Like, when I know that I look good, it makes me feel like I can conquer anything.
Yeah. And, like, you know, when I was younger, from Nigeria, I was very skinny. And then coming here, the change in environment, especially the change in food, my body really, like expanded so much. I was really big.
Mm-hmm. You're big now. In a good way.
And so I really started to work out a lot, and I joined, like, almost all the sports ever. Like, I was on the swim team. I was in cross country. I did track. Mm-hmm. I did basketball. I did volleyball. And by the time I was in high school, I, like, had, like, a four-pack or
something.
Wow. I was really looking
in shape.
Good. And I did drill team in high school, and I did powerlifting in high school. I went to almost went to state in high school. I went to regionals for powerlifting. I felt really good about myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Physically, too. Mm-hmm. Like, people, it doesn't hurt for people to always tell you, oh, you're so fit, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
And so I think that also helped me with, like, me feeling like, oh, I am beautiful. You know what I mean?
Good, yeah.
Just because I like the way I look, too.
Right. And you like the way you look.
Yeah.
Like, you don't care. I don't think you care what other people think.
No, I didn't.
What you think
for
matters.
A minute, for a while, I did, because people would make fun of my weight back then.
Oh, wow.
And then, like, especially, you know, African parents.
Are you eating?
My mom, she would always get on me for my weight. And then I really just lost it all. And, like, even now, I'm going to be real. Like, even now, like, when I'm starting to get too big, I just start to get, like, fearful. Like, no, I can't.
What are you fearful of? What people think about the way you look?
Not even that. Like, I didn't like the way I felt. I didn't like the experiences I had when I was bigger.
Mm.
So I'm scared to gain those pounds. I'm scared of that. Well, so, like, when I'm gaining a lot of pounds, like, at one point I was 160. What was it, like? 4 weeks ago.
Wow.
And so I was like, I really need to go in. So I, for 2 weeks, like, that's always a cycle with me. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks I went in, now I'm 151.
Oh, wow. You just
know,
like that.
It really just, like, pushes me to really, like, and I end up doing things that I shouldn't, like, maybe not eating for the whole day except once a day. Like,
oh, wow.
Stuff like that.
That's crazy. You shouldn't go to, like, drastic efforts to look the same, look the way you want to. I think that...
Yeah, it's not great, but I don't feel... It's not that I hate myself that I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I just... I'm scared of that.
Scared of, like, looking a certain way.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know, we all deserve to look our best, I guess.
Yeah.
For me, it's the opposite. I've always been very skinny growing up. I'm still skinny now. I have muscles, but I'm, like, very... I've always been like a thin guy.
Where's the muscles?
Yeah.
I don't see them. Sorry.
Okay. It's okay. I've always been a thin guy, and I've always been... I haven't been insecure about it, but I've always wanted to not be so skinny, I guess.
Yeah.
And I can eat whatever I want. Yeah, I've never struggled with weight problems, which I'm thankful for.
Lucky.
But I've always wanted to not be so skinny.
Yeah.
But one thing that I have dealt with like self-confidence and self-esteem is I used to think that I was ugly.
Oh.
Yeah, do you think everybody went through that phase where they thought they were
everyone
ugly?
Everyone definitely went through that phase. I went through that phase too.
Really?
Where I thought I was like not cute.
Not cute.
Because like, let's be real, like, growing up as, like, a dark-skinned girl, like, I'm not, like, super dark, but I'm darker than a lot of people, right? In growing up in track, you know, I was in sports a lot, especially, like, unisex sports.
Right.
Like, track, cross-country, swimming. And, you know, the black boys only liking the light-skinned girls. The black boys would literally, because I wasn't as attracted
to them,
they would literally say anything by me. So they would talk about, oh, if my daughter's too dark, I'm throwing her away.
Oh, whoa.
Bro, they would say, I would never forget these types of conversations ever. Just seeing.
And over time, that stuff gets ingrained in you.
It doesn't. It just made me not like black men for the longest because of that.
Well, a lot of them are problematic, so it's okay not to like them.
So, like, it made me not like black men for the longest because I'm just like, this is so messed up that you're thinking that. Like, it never made me hate myself.
Mm-hmm. That's
good.
I mean,
obviously, for a while, I thought I wasn't attractive. Until, like, get into high school and I'm just like, whatever. I don't even want you anyways.
Well,
like,
I used to think that I was ugly because I was.
Oh.
Yeah, I was. I had really messed up teeth until I got veneers and my life has been so different. But I really had terrible teeth.
You had braces?
I never had braces.
Wow.
Yeah. I had like a whole...
veneers.
Yeah,
rich.
Veneers. So ever since I had that operation, like, I felt much better about myself. I had a lot of confidence. I used to be embarrassed to smile. I didn't want to like talk in front of people because I didn't want people to look at my teeth.
Yeah.
And I remember people would be like,
oh,
look at your teeth. You need braces.
Yeah.
Like it was just so terrible. But after I got that operation, then I felt amazing about myself. I think even with relationships, confidence plays a big role. Oh, absolutely. Because you're in a happy relationship. Yeah. If your boyfriend approached you and he was like, do you want to date me? Like, would you want to be with him?
He would never do that.
So. It probably wouldn't work because girls are attracted to confident men.
Just like being in a relationship, I noticed that whenever I don't feel that great about myself, physically or mentally, mm-hmm. or even for him too, when he doesn't feel that great about himself physically or mentally, it really just like trickles over into our relationship. Mm. Where like we're just a little bit more annoyed with each other. And it's because of how we feel about ourselves. You know what I mean? So whenever I feel that, I know that lately I've been feeling like I'm gaining too much weight and I'm not really fitting my clothes mm-hmm. and I'm not feeling good. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a lot of pimples. Mm-hmm. And so like I just know it's not because of that other person. You know what I mean?
Right.
So like
it's more really, so with you, with the internal you, things that you're dealing with.
How you feel inside really trickles over into how you feel like when you're with someone.
Right. And I think that we all need an ego boost every now and then.
Yeah.
So for me, like my ego boost is like Instagram. So if I look good and I post a picture, my friends boosting me in the comments makes me feel good. Not that I post in order to feel good with the comments that people make, but sometimes like the things that people say, it makes you feel good and people can like feel better that way. Even with ego boost, I think it's important that we give compliments when it's necessary. Like if you see your friend and they look good, tell them that they look good. Yeah. Like the littlest comment or compliment goes a long way in making somebody feel good about themselves. I do that all the time. If I see one of my friends and I like what they're wearing, okay, I see you, Balenciaga, I love it. We love to see it.
They don't have Balenciaga.
Well, usually I just make stuff up. They probably got it from like Target or something. I'm like, oh, Balenciaga jacket. I love that.
That's so funny.
I love it.
Okay, but then that's phony then. Because they know you're not being real.
No, I like the jacket.
Now you're being sarcastic.
No, but I like the jacket, but I'm pretending that it's like a more expensive brand. But that's just my personality.
That's nice.
But I'm like awkward when it comes to receiving compliments. I remember I was in high school and after each play, everybody would be like, oh, Justin, you did so good. You did so good.
You probably did, Justin. You don't even know how amazing you are.
I mean, I know I did a good job, but it was uncomfortable because I didn't know what to say to that. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Like so much praise. It makes me feel awkward. Too. So I don't know how to react to positive comments and compliments.
Me too. It's really awkward when people tell me like this and that about myself. And I'm just like, mm-hmm. I don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Even with the podcast.
I prefer to be the one to tell people that you're great at this.
Than to receive.
Than to receive.
You're a giver,
that.
Not a taker.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
But obviously, I don't believe in the notion that, you should always give and not expect to receive. I feel like everyone deserves to receive.
Everybody
also.
Needs love.
Especially if you're in a relationship, you know, where people have been telling women that just be a giver, you know. Give him love and this and that. Mm-mm. Like, you shouldn't expect anything from anyone. Like, no. You need to be loved the way that you are loving someone.
Preach. Preach.
They can love you in their own way, but they need to love. You need to know that they love you.
You need to know that you're loved.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you can't just be like, oh, Jesus just said to give. Nah.
Mm-hmm. Even with the podcast, people are like, oh, Justin, I love your podcast. I'm like, mm-hmm.
I don't
believe these people. I think they're just making shit up.
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe is the podcast that good?
It's great. I love the podcast.
Joan is lying. Joan.
Justin, I listen to your podcast every week.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
There are even some that I don't agree with.
Right.
I just listen because you always make me laugh on every one of them.
But
I
even
think
with.
It's very. Quality.
Like I don't know how to like deal with compliments because I'm like, oh yeah, right.
Yeah.
You probably don't even listen to
Aww.
The podcast. But
I
yeah.
feel like that's just a deeper root of something.
Sure.
I'm trying to figure out why I feel that way. You know what I mean?
Like what?
When people will compliment me and I feel uncomfortable. Like what is the root of that?
I think because sometimes people think that you're giving a compliment just to give a compliment. Like you don't really like my hair. You're just like trying to be nice just to be nice.
Aww.
Like I think it's important if you really like something about somebody, be honest.
Yeah.
Be honest about it. And
you don't feel the need to lie to people.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, be quiet.
Yeah. Boost your friends, but don't lie to them.
Yeah.
Like I would never like lie to actually that's not true. Okay, when somebody gives me a compliment,
did you lie to me about my lashes?
No, they looked fine. They looked fine. But when somebody gives me a compliment, I feel the need to give them a compliment back. So if somebody says, oh Justin, I like your shirt, I start stuttering. And I'm like, yeah, thank you. I like your shoes. And they might be the ugliest shoes I've ever seen, but I just give them a fake compliment because I feel uncomfortable having all that pressure to, you know, respond.
I wonder why.
It's a weird, it's a socialization thing.
Yeah. I don't know why it is for me. I feel like, well, you know, I was kind of raised by my grandma. And mm-hmm. one of her things growing up was she always taught me, be the last one to walk in, open the door for everyone. Mm-hmm. Don't ever feel like you're better than anyone. Don't ever take compliments. Like, don't ever feel this and that. Like, really? For a while, I had to unlearn some of that. Mm-hmm. There's a thing with trying to be too humble, you know what I
mean? That's true.
Like, I've seen so many people who they're good at something, or they know they want to be given credit for something, but they want to pretend like it doesn't matter to them. Mm. They're like, I don't really know if I want to do that. Like, that is so annoying to me. I feel like I used to be like that, which is why it's annoying to me.
Yeah.
Like, if you know you can do something better than anyone else, you need to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be confident enough to speak up and say that, yes, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do it.
Yeah. For you. You know and speaking of that, like Simone Biles, I wanted to mention her earlier, but she won her 5th world title in gymnastics. And she left a comment saying that, yes, I know I'm the best. And
absolutely.
I'm gonna walk in my power and with my confidence because I want other girls to do the same.
People are going
to
be mad at her for that. But
or say she's cocky.
Exactly,
she's not.
No.
She's not.
You got to know your craft and you got to be able to say that I can do what it is that you want. I can do it great. I can do it good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that with my self-confidence issues, also in high school and in middle school, I used to have, like, really terrible, like, acne.
Yeah.
And that made me feel, like, really terrible. I remember one time my dad was like, look at your face.
Oh, my God. Nigerian parents always make things worse. They play a fact. We need to have a conversation with Nigerian parents make their kids, like,
feel bad about the mental strain that we go through.
The mental strain.
He was like,
either makes you stronger or it breaks you. There are two types of that.
Right, there's no in between.
Most of them makes them stronger, but a lot of them, very few of them, it breaks them.
Yeah. And I felt broken. He was like, look at your face. It's as black as this shoe. And I was like, in retrospect, it's so funny, but back then I was like, damn, maybe I am ugly, but I'm not. I'm actually cute, by the way. So if you guys don't know what I look like and you're curious, follow the Polar Opposites Instagram or follow me on my personal page and you guys will get to see what I look like. I'm actually pretty good looking, I would say.
Oh, you are, Justin.
Thank you.
And you have the best personality. Aw,
thank you. You got see, she's boosting me, y'all.
Which is like more important than looks,
right?
Obviously.
But also I think that it's important to surround yourself with people who uplift you and people that bring up your confidence and don't bring you down. I remember in high school, the meanest thing somebody ever said to me, and this is somebody that I considered a friend at the time. She's like, Justin, if we had kids, you would ruin everything about them.
Oh my God, no.
You would ruin their hair. You would ruin their lips.
And
you would ruin their skin. And I was like, oh my God.
Are you still friends?
No.
Okay.
I was like, oh my God. Like, I think I laughed when she told me that. But in hindsight, like, that is a fucked up thing to say to somebody.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, and yeah.
I've heard someone tell me that, you know, if you marry, like, don't marry a dark person because then you make really dark babies.
Who cares?
Like, whatever. Like, I was a cute baby. And
yeah, same.
Like,
I was
whatever.
The cutest. Yeah, like, surround yourself.
That's just, like, hatred of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Regardless of what my kids look like, they will be healthy. They will be
happy.
In shape. Mm-hmm. They will be happy.
High
SES.
Exactly.
They will be given all the privileges that kids who are ruling the world now are given.
We love to see it.
Put in private practice, private lessons, all of that.
We love to see it.
Yes, sir.
But yeah,
it doesn't matter their skin.
It doesn't matter. Surround yourself.
On top of that, they're gonna be black.
Yes.
Wow.
We love
it. I'm already so proud.
I'm proud too, and the kids aren't even here.
I don't even know them yet.
Right. But yeah, surround yourself with people who care about you, people who will lift you up. A lot of times people think that their friends are their friends when really they're not. And there's going to be people that bring you down because they lack confidence or they lack self-esteem. So they want to pull somebody down because they feel down themselves. Yeah. Find out who your real friends
and
are.
And a lot of times people do not like when people are confident, especially when a woman is confident and she's able to speak up the way she wants to.
Yeah.
People are... It's not even that what she's saying is, like, what they hate. They just don't like that she's able to speak up like that.
Right. A confident black woman.
They just don't. Even just any woman, if you think about it. Like, Elizabeth Warren, like, sometimes I'll read the comments. And people will be like, oh, why does she think that this and that? Like, the confidence, the way she speaks with the solutions. You know how a lot of times she talks about solutions to problems?
Mm.
And people are like, oh, why would she think she could do that and blah, blah, blah. It's like, because
why not? Stop. See, you people should stop asking why and start asking why not.
Exactly.
Like, you don't know how much confidence will take you so far in life. People should stop being afraid and just find it from within and learn that, you know, things are possible. You can do anything that you put your mind into.
And it really just takes, like, taking care of yourself. Like, confidence and self-esteem doesn't come that easily.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
they go hand in hand.
You need to sit down. Like, I've had times in my life where I had to sit down and write in my journal what it is that I did not like that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
What it is that I did not like about myself.
Right.
What it is that I had to change within the next 6 months.
And it's not always, like, physical, like, with appearance.
No,
it could be,
like,
mental with your goals.
Like, there was one time where because of, like, the trauma I went through from moving here initially, like, I thought it was okay to gossip about people and talk about people in, like, a horrible way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I had to sit myself down, like, dude, what are you doing? Like, that's so horrible. You're not a good person. Like, all of that stuff hurts.
Right.
It really takes, like, you have, like, people are always talking about self-care. Self-care is not just about you going to get your nails done, doing a mask.
Getting a drink.
Self-care is sitting down and looking at your flaws.
Self-reflecting.
Stuff that you can change that are not stuff that you're not born with.
Yeah.
That you acquired. Bad habits. Sitting down, writing it down, or thinking about it and deciding to change it. That is self-care.
It's very powerful. Yeah. Self-care is not just looks.
It's absolutely not about
the internal too.
Yeah.
And it can help with your mental health too. If you sit down and ask yourself, what is it that I'd like to change about myself?
Exactly.
What is it that I need in order to grow?
Exactly.
You'll go, like, far in life. So everybody ask yourself, what is your purpose? What can I change about myself to increase my confidence? What is pulling me down? What is taking a toll on my self-esteem? And then work from there. Like, all of us go through that in life, and I've gone through it.
And don't let society make you feel like what you're trying to change about yourself is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously people get surgery for wrong reasons sometimes.
I mean, I don't know.
There are times where, like, people will go and, like, you know, your lips have been, you know, something that you've been really cautious about for a long time, and changing it would increase your self-confidence drastically.
I've actually changed my position on plastic surgery. Like, before I was against it, but I'm like, if you want it to look like the way you want to, I don't see anything wrong in enhancing yourself.
Clearly, like, I'm against it when, like, I see kids doing that.
Well,
like,
I've never seen kids getting plastic surgery.
You know, teenagers. Kylie Jenner got her
lips done
when she was a teenager.
Yeah, but she was 18.
Was she? I thought she was 17.
I don't follow her, so I don't care.
But, you know, like, stuff like that. Like, that clearly she needs, like, there's a deeper root to that.
Sure, and, I mean, you can say that about anybody that wants to get surgery.
True.
Everything is deeply rooted somewhere.
You just have to think, is this, like, something that I want to do for me or because of what people are saying about me?
Right. Either way, do what makes you feel good, because only you can make yourself happy. So if you want to get something done about yourself, regardless of what other people say, I think that your happiness is the most important thing. So go for it. But yeah, I think that's about it for this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed our little discussion about self-esteem and self-confidence. Everybody needs an ego boost every now and then. So give the podcast an ego boost. Subscribe, rate, leave a review if you wish. Follow us on Spotify if you're listening on Spotify. And yeah, thanks for joining me, Shone.
Thank you for having me again.
No problem. Thank you guys for listening. It really means a lot to me. I'm glad that you guys are continuing to listen. But yeah, I hope you guys have a good rest of your week. I will enjoy the rest of mine. And as always, I will catch you guys on the next one.
Bye.